The pre-game interview.
Footy Spotlight for ex-Gorrell Geelong, Steve Hocking, Cats CEO, is just walking right now into the EJ Whitten Memorial Broadcasting Box. He's going to come and join us for a quick chat, which we really appreciate. He's looking very dapper too. He's got the very nice suit on. He's got the polished the shoes,
and he's
got
sure
the, and the hair's even looking very, very fine as well, as he's about to put a headset on and about to be, well, we could say grilled, but you know, it's not a grill, it's more a barbecue when we catch up with Hock, the CEO of the Cats. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
Very well. Welcome. Good to talk to you for the first time this year.
Great to be here.
It's a bit early. Can you tell I'm not sun at 1 o'clock Sunday? So Neil didn't get to go to church this morning.
No, it's been a busy morning for most people. We had a members group in, 10 to 24 year members attended about 10 o'clock this morning. So I did a briefing for them on level two and just thanked them for their commitment and loyalty to the club. And they were taken on a tour. So yeah, it was an early start for all of them. So we appreciate showing up so early.
Crowd today, what are you expecting? Obviously, we had 39,500 to open the Selwood stand. What's today's expectation?
Well, yeah, just going back to your timing, Sunday, the time and so forth, I'd say probably high 20s. Hopefully we hit 30,000, but yeah, remains to be so.
Right now for time slots, this is probably the least desirable for the games you've got. You know, you look at Port Adelaide 7:10 on a Friday night, the Saturday Twilight Giants, Saturday night Richmond. I think this place will absolutely pump. Can't wait for that one. But 1 o'clock Sunday, just that harder sell.
Yeah, look, I think it's important that you do have a mix though, Tom. Like it's. Not everybody can get to those Friday nights, and they certainly can't get to the Saturday nights as well, and particularly families and so forth. So there's an opportunity around that today. We've been really fortunate to be in, you know, the prime time slots. You know, at start of the season over the first sort of four rounds. So we've been really fortunate, and we've got a really good mix of teams coming down here as well. Obviously, there's five Victorian teams that are part of the nine home games here. So, yeah, we're excited to welcome them down here.
Before I throw you to Neildy and Jace, your predecessor, Brian Cook, one of his bugbears was the fixture was that it didn't stagger very well, the Cats games. Yeah. There'd be one, and then we wouldn't see one for a month, and then you'd get 3 and 4 weeks, which I think you get sort of late May, early June. Is it something you'll talk to the AFL about, you know, where you could probably have a 3 week gap between games here at GMHBA and turn them into events rather than, you know, getting them crammed together occasionally?
Yeah, look, it's just difficult, Tom. Like it's, you know, you have all those conversations. There's many machinations that they have to work through as far as the fixture goes. And so if we're asking for more Victorian teams down here, then you've got to give something up.
Yep.
If you ask for what you're talking about there, then there's something else that you lose. So the sequencing is important. I understand that, but if you have a look at it now, it's like the competition is so different. Well, I think, you know, what you're raising there from my end is probably 10 years ago. You know, probably even 15 years ago. The fixture looks just so different now. You're playing, you know, you're playing Thursday nights right through to Sunday. You're taking the whole show on the road to Adelaide. Like it is a truly national. So you just work with what you've got. You certainly, I'm not saying that we don't promote certain things within the AFL. We absolutely do. But I think we do just need to recognise that the game's changed a lot.
Hock, thanks for joining us. It's wonderful to have you in here. The footy club's known as a leader for various reasons, obviously, within the competition. And it's a club that never stand still. Are you able to give some of all of our listeners just a bit of an insight as to what's next in terms of off the field stuff for you?
Yeah, well, we shared with the membership group that we're in this morning. Nearly, we've just started a refresh in underneath here. So the high performance area. So if for your listeners, it's sort of one pocket to the other pocket in terms of what the football program has and works in, and that's on the obviously ground floor of the Brownlow stand, right into the Premiership stand as well. There's nothing in the Selwood stand. They're all the new change rooms, and it's a $7 million refresh. Now that was only just completed those areas roughly about 8 years ago, and so we've had to go back through. And the reason for that is We now manage four programs. There's AFL, there's AFLW, that will soon become full-time. In our program, so you're going to have two full-time programs over the next couple of years, and then you've also got VFL and VFLW, and we also welcome the Geelong Falcons in once a month as well and utilise all the facilities. So there's a lot of wear and tear, and we've been really fortunate. We're looking to raise $20 million and through donations, and the Costa family, thank you to Robert Costa and Elaine and the entire Costa family, they've all contributed $10 million to that campaign. We're over $12 million already. Cool. We're looking to raise through a range of different funding models, federal, state, roughly about sort of $50 million to build a indoor facility inside the park. And we hope to do that over the next couple of years. And the funding of the high performance refresh, the $7 million, is coming out of those donations as well. So we're very, very fortunate as a club. We've got just amazing, the Costa family, to set an example there, which is just incredible. And everybody that's involved and that's currently contributing, as you say, we don't stand still. There's a project. There's actually a couple of projects on the go at the moment.
That's terrific. Thank you very much. Our listeners will be unbelievably interested in that. Don't comment on this one. This is a bit of a drive-by. If there's space for a basketball court in your new thing, just put that in there.
There actually is. It's just a mini basketball court, which is just, part
can you
of the club lounge.
The next one from me is when we hear Chris and his coaching group talk, they're huge on a win or a loss. We come to work and you can't tell. When you speak to people who work in the administration, it's wonderful that they're ingrained in the purpose of the footy club and the values. I'd be interested from a win or loss point of view, the impact that has on the administration, and does that make their job any more difficult? Does it change anything? So, can you talk about that?
No, look, it doesn't. It's actually real, that. What you've raised there, we don't ride the emotions like our supporters, members and all the fans do, and we understand that. That sort of is part of emotionally being connected. And I think the great thing about sport is, and particularly AFL, is you've got this wonderful connection now with a completed stadium. You've got this connection that's going on from the stand to the players that are out on the ground, and it's really important that to us. But in terms of running a high performance club and a business model, we don't ride the peaks and troughs, and that's critical, and that's certainly really strong. We've got guiding principles that underpin all of that as well. One of the things that we've been pushing of late, which is sort of been lost a little bit in society since COVID, is just assume good intent. We're very quick to judge, and so one of those guiding principles, that particular statement sits underneath there and reminds people to just not to jump to a conclusion on something. And so assuming good intent in the first instance will generally level things out and mean that you can actually have a conversation that's progressive and also inclusive at the same time. So, the guiding principles for us it anchors all of what we do, and all of what we do is wrapped around our people. They're the most important thing. Yeah.
Speaking with Cats CEO Steve Hocking on K-Rock Football, he's Jason Doherty.
Steve, I have a bit of a community slant, as you might know, and I'm interested. The AFL have obviously got back to, hopefully, pre-pandemic funding in terms of community sport or supporting communities.
Well, 10%.
Yeah, 10%. So it's huge. Yeah, how does that work into your club being, high-performance, elite club versus your relationship with the community, and how is that going to work?
Yeah, so there's that will be pushed out into all of the competitions, which will be led from headquarters, but we will continue to do what we do.
Yep.
If we have a look across here, you can see the Dulux Community Bay.
Yep.
That's recognising all community leaders and community groups, and that's funded by Dulux. It's a new partnership we've started this year. Dulux actually have Cullior Club, as an example. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know whether you've seen any of that vision, but that's an opportunity for any local club to actually just approach Dulux and actually have all of the paint donated, rolls and so forth. And occasionally you'll get the CEO of the Geelong Football Club.
Which club did you go to? You went down to the Western District.
Yeah, it went right down. What club was it? Because it was the Tigers' colours, and then by the time we finished, it was just all beautifully and immaculately white.
You went to Portland, were you?
I reckon it was Portland, yes. Yeah, and so they're the types of things we'll continue to do. Yep. And then the other thing that we're really mindful of is just the role that we have right through this region in terms of raising the bar and supporting all of the local football clubs. So if you have a look at the AFL Bowen, their finals are back here.
Yeah.
I was a bit affronted by the fact that that wasn't the case. And so we've got this completed stadium now. I think it's just going to be unbelievable. You're talking grand final eve on that Friday.
It's going to be a pretty big
grand final. Yeah. And we've got the ability to play up, games, netball and so forth in the park. So there's just going to be so much more of that, Jason. And that's, I'm really genuine in that. I've come from a small country town, Cobram, 4,500, 5,000 people. That still sits in my system. And it's important that we are role models, not just looking after the elite, which, I think that's what you're raising.
Absolutely.
Is. It's okay to be elite, but what else are you doing?
Yeah, wrapping around, that's right. Absolutely.
It's critical to us.
Yeah, good.
Your footy manager and your coach have both spoken to Taryn Thomas. Have you got anything to add to what they've spoken about? And it's not at Taryn specifically, but the open-mindedness of players to recruit to the club.
Well, there's two parts to it. I think it probably got a little bit... certain outlets got a bit excited about it. The reality is what Chris and Andrew have both said, and I welcome this from them, and hopefully whilst they're in their roles, they continue to do this. They are open to all elements, and you have to be, from a list management point of view, but... I'll say this, his name hasn't been mentioned in the list management meeting to this point in time. So,
couple of other things. Membership, how are you tracking?
We're in the high 70s. We're aiming for 90,000 this year, which would be another record on top of the last couple of years. And we're aiming for 100,000 next year. And we're trying to line that up with Ford's 100-year celebration. So next year, the Ford Motor Company celebrate 100 years of sponsorship. It's the longest sponsorship in world sport. Like, it's just, we are so appreciative, and you can see everything they're doing with the range, the Everest. They've got the new Mustang that's not far off landing. You've also got the new F-150 as well. So their cars and what you've got to select from have never been better, and we're just thrilled that we're still partnering with them and about to head into 100 years. But 100,000 members we're aiming for next year.
We have to let you go, Hock, but just very quickly, and it's been touched on your socials, and we've touched on it on KROQ 955. Lingy is going to be elevated to legend status at the club, which is fantastic.
I got one on him, finally. Tom, I actually had him in tears.
Really?
But No, he didn't. So he gave me a hug in the first instance to say thank you, and then he turned away from me. And I think it sort of dawned on him in that moment that, hang on, this is pretty significant. He's a 28th legend of the club and follows the recent one with Corey Enright. And then he turned back to give me another hug, and he was in tears at that point in time. So I was rapt to get one over him for once.
And there's a Hall of Fame dinner in June.
June 22nd.
So just the Saturday night after the Carlton Friday night game. Looking forward to that. Keep an eye out for tickets for the Hall of Fame dinner. Hock, really appreciate your time. I know we've got to let you go. We could talk forever about all things footy related, and I'm sure you'd be sick of us, but we've got a game of footy, and you've got a function to obviously attend as well. Yeah. So we appreciate your time as always. Thank the Cats for making you available, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Tom.
Steve Hocking there, the CEO of the Geelong Cats.
The pre-game interview.